Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmakers Show. So today we have a very exciting guest. You know, we have a founder that has done it, you know, a couple of times. You know, right now he's building a rocket ship, you know, in Latin America. And I think that you're all going to be very, very inspired with his story. We're going to be talking about building, scaling, financing, and all of the above. And also, you know, like why they thought about building the platform kind of like in a regional way, you know, from the get-go, as well as using machine learning, AI. Obviously, there's a lot of people talking about this nowadays, but they thought about this early, how they went about their Series B, what kind of experience that was, getting like really large players to come in. And then also how, you know, he goes and they go with his team about customer support. He even uses WhatsApp with the early customers, which is incredible. So again, super inspiring conversation ahead of us. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Sebastian Kreis. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alejandro. Great. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite and I'm excited to share about the Zeppelin story.
So you were born in Santiago de Chile and you were born to immigrant parents. Your parents went from Germany to Chile. And how was life growing up for you? Give us a walk through memory lane.
Yeah, so imagine that Chile, it's a very developed country in Latin America and has been advancing. But on the other side, it's a country that's surrounded by sea, desert, big mountains, and in the south, Patagonia. So a lot of things happen in Chile and stay in Chile. So for me, it was great to live in Chile, but also have data points and experience of a German family because I could compare what was living in Chile, but also having mindset that was kind of international, that could think out of the box and can also think what other realities happen in other parts of the world. And I grew up with that in mind. So it was great. And the second was that a lot of members of the family were entrepreneurs or businessmen. And so I learned a lot of things about them, a lot of things about the experience, but a few stand out. One is that when they had problems, they thought and think about problems as opportunities. And I grew up with that mindset. And so when I went out to study or work, that was always my mindset. So I actually share a lot of that with my team and family members, how your mindset actually defines a lot of what problems are you solving in life and what gives you as opportunities moving forward in this world that is changing a lot all the time.
So then in your case, you know, for you, you ended up studying engineering out of all things. I guess, what got you into the whole problem solving, you know, mentality and thinking?
No, that's great. And I think one of the most important things for me was that I love mathematics, physics. I love to solve problems. But most importantly, when I went to engineering school, was that you realize what kind of problems engineers solve in the world, and software and data can help you not only solve that as you think for a smaller scale, but for a big, big scale. And I think that way of looking at the world, that engineering can help you think about big problems, but also can help you kind of simplify these big problems into smaller chunks and have the ability to solve each of the smaller chunks to have a big, big impact, was something that stood out of me in that experience. And Chile, as I mentioned before, it's a great, great talent. I mean, in terms of engineers, a lot of engineers that work in the big tech companies in the US, a lot of Chilean work there and make a great impact. Because not only it's about engineering, but it's about how you can solve really efficient problems and can you be intuitive about solving something that has a great impact. And we'll see right now from what's happening in the startup ecosystem in Chile, we'll see more founders from Chile kind of rocking it in the startup world, because right now people is thinking bigger. And I think that's what the engineering place where I studied, plus some of more change in mindset, see some examples. You know, you have Cornershop, you have Notco, of course you have Zeppelin, but example of companies that entrepreneurs, that motivated people can really go for it. It's what is the best mix, and what I've seen in Chile and starting from an engineering school.
So after engineering school, you went into investment banking. You know, that's kind of like a different route. So why investment banking? I mean, if you're doing engineering, I would have thought that you would have either gone at it as startups or work as an engineer for another, you know, more techie company. So what happened there?
Yeah, that moment, actually, in Chile, there wasn't an opportunity to work for a startup. There was an opportunity to work for tech companies. It was like far away. Like if you ask a friend, parents, cousins, what are they doing? It's like, no, I work for banking, consulting, or for a big company, you know? And that changed completely the last, I would say, five years or so, in which a lot of people is considering working for startups, not only because of the impact they can do and kind of make big progress in their career, but also they understood that they can have a great impact developing great solutions for what is wrong in Latin America, for what is broken. There are a lot of problems around access and around things that are in Latin America that at the beginning in banking, for example, we solve the problems for the top 0.1% of companies. And I actually structured and kind of participated in deals for more than 10 billion, but helping the biggest companies in the region. Right now, it's different. And with that experience in mind, having worked in banking, I really wanted to expand that and to go to the other kind of companies that don't have access, but not access only on financial services, but access on everything. Everything is broken related to how companies relate to each other, how companies make business, how companies can actually scale their business. Of course, there is a problem around access in financial service, but most importantly, it's a problem around how these companies have tools to manage their business. Imagine that when a big company hire an investment bank, they pay high fees, but also get perfect advisory on what to do. What are the clear scenarios for that company to make progress and make the best decisions? Those small, medium companies don't have that. So how can we have a product and a service for companies to actually make better decisions, have access to recurring financial service, manage better their cash? These are the questions I had when I was in banking, being an engineer, that a lot of people like couldn't rely, but there was no solution. And that's why I went to startup world engineering, because and building companies, because you have to have that ability of seeing the future, how it would look like, but also having the tools in order to build it.
So let's talk about seeing the future and building it, because eventually in 2014, it was the time that you decided to take matters of your own and take the reins of your own future. So what happened there? You know, at what point, you know, do you come up with the idea of, you know, joining and starting Safeguard?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say threefold. The first is that I went to the Bay Area. And I saw Uber early days, for example. I took an Uber and saw that technology was available, not for building social media or social platforms, but to really help build and really help build people, really help like solve the most important problems in the region. And I thought that was really, really inspiring for me to really use technology and to solve the most important problems in the region. The second I would say is that I was prepared because I already worked and helped the most and the biggest companies in Chile and South America around solving the most important problems. So that was really important for me, not only because I wanted to understand how the business world works, but also how people make decisions based on uncertainty. And that was pretty clear for me that nobody had certainty making decisions, but it was being bold and having some kind of information that make decisions, but most importantly, have a clear, clear vision of what you want to build. If you have a clear vision, but also you have execution capabilities, both things combined are kind of superpowers that not only builders need, but also teams need in order to develop those pattern recognition to build every day what and have really clear what you want to build. And third, I would say is just not like meeting some people that already built, and they were like me, you know, they were humans that make bold decisions in their lives. They have great capabilities, but also needed, you know, to share this vision with teams and build it with the teams. And actually the teams were, the super AAA teams were the ones that were winning, but because it was the cohesiveness and the collaboration of the team that actually make the impact in the customers and the business, not only one person. I think that's really, really key. And for me has been always kind of a master in how not only build companies, but also how you actually share with your team and build with your team all the time.
So then with, for example, with Safeguard, what was the business model there? What were you guys doing?
So there was an arbitrage because a lot of real estate managers were developing condominiums and buildings and that. And there was no software for them. There was no like control on the access. So there was a lack of like digital tools in order to manage that. So we built that. We built a few software tools, a few entrance kind of solutions for entering condominiums and buildings. And it was key two things. One is that to make it clear our customers that we have a solution not only for them, but for the entire ecosystem that they work with. What I mean with that is if you manage a property, a building, you need to have a better relationship with the ecosystem, you know, meaning all the people that use the building, all the people that are tenants and rent, everybody. And with Safeguard, you could have a better relationship with everybody, giving services, giving value to everybody. And that was key. And the second was that there was people early on that wanted to participate and invest in this company, you know, second generation businessmen, second generation people that wanted to invest in this business. So it was a great mix of two things. One is, of course, entrepreneurs want to build that, a big opportunity in the market, but also people that wanted to support us. So we raised money to start a business that has a great, not only vision, but also a great impact in the economy. Right now, in the same building where is Zeppelin located in Santiago, actually the entrance is managed by Safeguard. So it's quite of interesting how life touches all your experiences.
That's amazing. Now for you, you know, you were there for a couple of years, but then the opportunity of doing an MBA in the US came up. I mean, that's a pretty big decision, you know, leaving your baby. So how did you go through that thought process and came to the conclusion that it was the right time for you to pursue the MBA?
For me, the MBA, more than a master's, was an opportunity for me to have the time and the dedication to build a bigger business. And I start thinking about Zeppelin and the opportunity because of two things. One is that we had a lot of customers in Safeguard. We signed like 36 month old like contracts, and I couldn't have the experience, a good experience, kind of to finance the growth of Safeguard with financial institutions and financial products in the market. That's one thing that was really, really important for me, not only because I already saw the opportunity, but to really take it with my hands and see what's the real opportunity. If I was a company that was growing, signing contracts and raise money and good shareholders. And the second was that when I was in banking, we helped the 0.1% of companies. But then the other 98 or more companies were generating all the labor and all the GDP in a lot of industries, B2B industries mostly. So I saw that opportunity to really help those companies and bring the financial technology and other things into what was kind of the new banking experience, the new software experience, the new access experience for these B2B companies that were having a great impact on labor, on GDP, on each of Latin American countries. And I got obsessed with that problem. And I saw nobody solving it in a real scalable way. A lot of like small solutions that were starting, but nobody was tackling the problem from the guts.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So, I mean, obviously, you go to the MBA, you have the idea there, you know, starting to incubate Zeppelin. But instead of executing it, right? I mean, that's typically on MBA programs, you know, they would have you like the final paper or the final project that you do with like a bunch of people there in class. You went at it with the Boston Consulting Group, you know, doing digital transformation for banks. And you eventually did that for actually, you know, almost two, I mean, 1 year and a half. So it's pretty amazing, you know, like in your career, the 180s, you know, that you've done, right? So you study engineering, then you do investment banking, then you do an MBA. And what you would think is that, you know, you're going to go at it and start the startup right away. But in this case, you went at it, you know, with consulting. But obviously, you know, it's very strategic the way that you are always thinking about those decisions and those shifts. So as you were already incubating the idea of Zeppelin, why not going straight at it with Zeppelin after the MBA versus what you ended up doing, which was doing consulting?
Yeah, so two things that was a shift there. One is that in order to build big companies and solve big problems in the economy, you need to have a few things about pattern recognition that you can really work while you're building. One of the things was that I helped a lot of companies that did, I was in investment banking, but I really have the experience about building a bank, you know, and building financial services from the ground up. So it was a great experience. And the second was that I understood that a lot of companies were looking for deal transformation, you know? And I already built one kind of tech company, so already knew what were the challenges. So it was great to put that in place and have a little bit of more practice of where the opportunity was in the future. One thing, for example, when I was living in the Bay Area, that machine learning and AI was a great opportunity still then. A lot of companies right now, generative AI, it's the thing, but already in 2016, 2017, already machine learning and AI was an important thing about how you can scale a business, because not only brings you efficiency, but actually gives you the opportunity to tackle a bigger TAM, because you don't need not only less people, because with software you can do that, but you can be smarter than your competition and actually add value to your customer whenever they're looking for. So that opportunity about understanding AI and machine learning early on also gave me the opportunity to really think it big. And I had the opportunity to implement a lot of things for banks. Instead of building slides and doing some strategy, I went there to build stuff for other companies first, because it was a great opportunity for me. But most importantly, it was a great opportunity also for BCG, because I already built a company, already knew a lot of things about how you manage developers, how you manage product development process. Already did that, and they needed that for their customers. So it was a perfect fit for those times before starting set.
So obviously you were waiting for being ready. So then obviously, you know, in 2017, you know, that's the moment where you realize that, you know, perhaps it's the time to, well, actually a little bit later, you know, around 2019 is the time where you actually realize that it was time to pull the trigger. You know, I mean, we're talking quite a bit of time. You know, you seem to be like the kind of guy that like really, you know, strategizes and meticulously, you know, thinks about the strategy. So as you were thinking about that, at what point do you realize it's time?
Two things happened. One is I knew I was ready to build and to take the next challenge, because when you build companies, you change your entire life. It's not another job. You change your life. So I was ready for a 10, 20, 30 year challenge. And that was the time I was ready. And second, that already kind of VC market was evolving in a way that not only you could actually talk about this idea, but you could actually make a relationship with VCs in a way that it's very, very successful for everybody, that they were actually willing to help entrepreneurs build big, big companies from Latin America, from Chile, from Mexico. You know, that was the tipping point. I want to say, here's the opportunity, because not only I'm ready, but also the market is ready to support an idea like Zeppelin and to disrupt the access and financial tools and the opportunity of small companies to be big, you know?
So then for the people listening, what is the business model of Zeppelin? How do you guys make money?
Yeah, so what we do is we give a software entrance for free for companies to organize their information. And there is where we embed three ways of making money. First is financial services. There are financial services related to account receivable or managing relationship with clients. Financial service accounts related to accounts payable, about relationship with suppliers. Financial service related to how you manage your cash. The second, it's about how you treat your information. And with that information, how you make better decisions. Could be for your company, again, for your relationship with clients and suppliers. And we charge for a kind of a software for that. And then also, we make money through some other partnership with platforms and financial institutions that want to make a business with us, because we're the best ones at what we do. And so some people like digital platforms or financial institutions want to go into this segment and they choose to work with Zeppelin, and there is another revenue stream. So that's the three we have today. In the future, we'll have more. But it's great to see how not only we impact companies, but 7 out of 10 companies because of Zeppelin, because of this business model, actually have more cash at the end of the month, can grow faster, pay less interest, and have a better kind of cash flow and team prepared to manage their challenges. So I think it's not only about the business model, but also about the impact and the opportunity you're making for your customers that actually permit that business model, it's predictable and grows over time.
Now, for you guys talking about, you know, growing over time and scaling things up, I mean, you've raised $150 million on the equity side and then about $400 million on the debt side. So how has been the journey of raising all that money, and how is it different from the equity side to the debt side for a company like this?
I think one of the most important things is that here we're not in the business of raising money. Here in the business of making long-term relationships, and any partner you you want to partner with in the Zeppelin vision, it's where you want to make long-term relationships. On the equity side, of course, investors want to have a return, as entrepreneurs want, and everybody that invests in a company want to have returns. That's based on the performance of the business. But most importantly, it's the journey, how you build trust, how you build a relationship in which you can complement each other, because investors have pattern recognition, investors have a specific experience that you're looking for. Investors complement you in a way how to look for that value today and in the future. And on the debt side, it's pretty similar. It's how you build like long-term relationship with people that not only want to have return on their money, but also want to really understand how to give access to financial services to people that or don't have access or have really bad experience. So both things need to be aligned in a way, not only about the financial success, but most importantly, the impact and the vision, the purpose of the business and the company that's really aligned. And that makes the flywheel going, because not only they want to invest in the company, but they want to help you. They want to help you be successful. They want to make interest for you because they are excited with the vision of the company. They're excited of the progress you're making, and they want to share that progress, that excitement with other people. That's the flywheel that we're kind of building and working every day. And when it doesn't work, also, it's because some people is looking at other things, and I also respect that. But here we're for building in the long term.
I know that the Series B was pivotal because you also onboarded, you know, the likes of Battery, PayPal, like more of the international, you know, folks, heavy hitters. So what do you think those international players saw to want to jump in something in Latin America?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is have a clear vision on the impact on the customer and the problem you want to solve. That it's pretty clear in your head, but also you can design how the company will look like, you know, in terms of three things. One is when you think about the future and the vision of the company, you also know some routes, some journeys, how you can build it. Because most importantly, it's not only about how and the motivation you want to build it, but also have a team that goes with you in that journey. So it's very important to see. And imagine you're looking for a mountain and you want to scale, you want to go to the top of the mountain. You have a lot of routes to go to the top of the mountain, but also it's good to show people where you're going. And this is really, really important in the way how you build business. The second I would say is when you want to build a big business and have a big impact, it's on how you're building the vision in a way. It's not only about the business that it's today, but also the business that you're building today, what opportunities, what capabilities will open up for you in the short term and in the medium term in order to get to your vision. For example, if you develop for us financial services, we actually, our moat is not only the financial services, but a lot of capabilities we build inside in order to go to market those financial services at scale. To be able to not only give that to 100,000, 10,000, 100,000, but 1 million companies. We're building for those capabilities, you know? And the third, it's always there will be problems. And successful companies are machines to solve problems. And so to have the mindset of you and your team to be prepared to solve problems. All the time you will have problems, and that machine in order to solve problems and to see opportunities in those problems is what kind of mark a team that wanna win in the marketplace. Yeah.
And obviously when you're raising money from players like this, you know, they, and you were talking about the vision, you know, they're betting on the vision. So let's talk about the vision here of Zeppelin. Let's say you were to go to sleep tonight, Sebastian, and you wake up in a world where the vision of Zeppelin is fully realized. What does that world look like?
It's a world where companies have not only access to real-time information about the business, but so a lot of their manual functions and a lot of manual processes are already automated. And so the time that finance teams and sales and operation teams are using inside companies, within companies, is because they want to serve better their customers. That's the time where Zeppelin it's successful. It's where the time of our customers is used a big proportion in order to solve their clients' problems. Because what we're doing is actually solve all the back office, all the financial service, all the processes in order to make that happen. And I would say three things. It's not only where we are growing and making progress on that vision, but most importantly, I see people in the company already speaking about the vision and speaking about how we can accelerate some of the parts of this vision today. So I'm really excited what's happening inside Zeppelin, because people that see the future not only want to participate in this future, are building it right now, building those capabilities right now. And that's what excites me the most.
So we're talking about the future here, but I want to talk about the past and doing so with a lens of reflection, because I mean, we're talking about two companies here that you have under your belt. So let's say I was to bring you into a time machine and I bring you back in time. I bring you back in time to perhaps that moment that you were thinking about starting something of your own. Let's say I was to put you right there, sitting next to that younger self, you know, sitting at the investment bank, and you're able to grab that ear of that younger Sebastian, and you're able to give that younger self one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
I mean, a ton, but the one piece of advice will be that trust in your gut, in your pattern recognitions, that some decisions will be wrong, but that doesn't matter. The most important thing is how consistently you work every day in order to be closer to that vision and closer to what you want to build. And most importantly there is the level of energy that you put in order to build. Because as I mentioned before, it's how you change your life. So those levels of energy are there in order to build it, and people also want to build it with you.
Amazing. Well, Sebastian, for the people that are listening that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
The best way, it's sebastian@zeppelin.com.
Well, easy enough. Very straightforward. Well, Sebastian, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Alejandro. Great to be here and continue with the success.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.